The Interpretation of the Wills in Ezekiel According to Jonathan Edwards. Divine Providence is most aptly represented by the revolution and course of these wills. Things in their series and course in Providence do, as it were, go round like a wheel in its motion on the earth. That which goes round like a wheel goes from a certain point or direction until it gradually returns to it again. So is the course of things in Providence. God's providence over the world consists partly in His governing the natural world according to the course and laws of nature. Consists wholly, as it were, in the revolution of wheels. So the annual changes that appear in the natural world are, as it were, by the revolution of a wheel, or the course of the sun, through that great circle, the ecliptic, or the ring of the great wheel, the zodiac. And so the monthly changes are by the revolution of another lesser wheel within that greater annual wheel, which, being a lesser wheel, must go round oftener to make the same progress. Ezekiel's vision was of wheels within wheels, of lesser wheels within greater, which all went round as though running upon several parallel planes, each touching the circumference of its respective wheel, and all making the same progress, keeping pace one with another. And therefore the lesser wheels must go round so much oftener according as their circumference was less. So again the diurnal changes in the natural world are by the revolution of a wheel still within the monthly wheel, and going round about 30 times in one revolution of the other. The system of the universe may exactly answer what is here said of these wheels, and lively represents God's providence and the government of the moral world. There is, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. The whole system is nothing else but wheels within wheels, lesser wheels within greater, revolving oftener. Here is the sphere of the fixed stars, which is the greatest wheel, includes all the others, in as many thousand years in performing its revolution. This includes the circle of Saturn's course, which is a lesser wheel within the other, finishing its revolution in about 30 years. It includes the circle of Jupiter, a lesser wheel, revolving in about 12 years. It includes the circle of Mars. It's the circle of the Earth, that of Venus, that of Mercury, that of the Sun, which revolves about its own axis. And some of the greater wheels include lesser and of various kinds. It's a great wheel of Saturn besides those of the inferior planets. It's annexed to it those lesser wheels of its satellites, one within another, and then its ring, and then its own body about its axis. So of Jupiter, and so of the Earth and Moon. So some of the grand revolutions of Providence that are but parts of the grand system of Providence have a particular system, as it were, belonging to themselves, wherein the great revolution includes lesser revolutions that are not parallel with any like them, continue from the beginning up to the end of time, but begin their various revolutions with that particular great will that they are fixed to, and end with it. So it is with that great will the continuance of the Jewish state. So it is with the continuance of the Christian Church. So it is with the state of some particular kingdoms and empires. So it is with the motion of the air and the wind. It goes and returns according to its own circuits. And so it is with the motion of the water and the tides and in their course out of the sea, and into the clouds, springs and rivers, and into the sea again. So it is with the circulation of the blood in a man's body, in the bodies of other animals. So it is with the life of man. It is like the revolution of a wheel. He is from the earth and gradually rises, and then gradually falls and returns to the earth again. Dust we are, and unto dust we return. We came naked out of our mother's womb, and naked must we go and return. The dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So it is with the world of mankind. It is a whole of it like a wheel. It is, as it were, sinks and goes down to the earth in one generation, and rises in another as it is with a wheel. At the same time that one side is falling to the earth, another part of the wheel is rising from the earth. Solomon takes notice of these things in Ecclesiastes 1:4-8. One generation passes away and another comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, the sun goes down, and hasteth to the place where he arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns about to the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from whence the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. So it is in the course of things in God's providence over the intelligent and moral world. All is a motion of wheels. They go round and come to the same again, and the whole series of divine providence from the beginning to the end is nothing else but the revolution of certain wheels, greater and lesser, the lesser being contained within the greater. What comes to pass in the natural world is in this respect typical of what comes to pass in the moral and intelligent world. It seems to be spoken of by the wise man in that forementioned place in Ecclesiastes. As the words that follow next after those that were mentioned respecting the natural world, respect the intelligent world, verses 9 and 10. Thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Things in their series and course and providence do as it were return to the same point or place whence they began, as in a turning of a wheel. But yet not so, but that a further end is obtained than was at first, or the same end is obtained in a much further degree, so that in the general there is a progress towards a certain and final issue of things, and every revolution brings near to that issue, as it is in the motion of a wheel upon the earth, as in the motion of the wheels of a chariot, and not like the motions of a wheel by its axis, for if so, its motion would be in vain. Entire series of events in the course of things through the age of the visible universe may fitly be represented by one great wheel, exceeding high and terrible, performing one great revolution. In the beginning of this revolution, all things come from God, and are formed out of a chaos, and in the end all things return into a chaos again, and shall return to God. That he that is the Alpha will be the Omega. This great will contains a lesser will that performs two revolutions, while that performs one. The first begins at the beginning of the world, and ends at the coming of Christ. And at the ending of the Old Testament dispensation, which is often represented as the end of the world in Scripture, the first revolution began with the creation of the world, so the second revolution began with the creations of the new heavens and the new earth. The course of things from the beginning of the world to the coming of Christ may be represented as one great will performing one revolution. All things in the beginning of this revolution were from Christ, the Creator of man, and the whole motion henceforward until Christ came was to bring things about to Christ again, and so to prepare the way for his coming, and to introduce him as a Redeemer of man. This will contains a lesser will. It performs two revolutions, while the great one does one, the first revolution ending at the calling of Abraham, at which time God did, as it were, plant a tree of his church anew. It planted at first and is revealing the covenant of grace to Adam. The second ending at the coming of Christ, the promised seed of Abraham and his anti-type, in whom all the families of the earth are blessed, and in whom the church was planted anew, and in a far more glorious manner. The course of things from the beginning of the world to the flood may be looked upon as a revolution of a wheel. At the beginning of it, God created the world, and the face of the earth was covered with waters, and the world was all of one man and his posterity. At the end of it, the world was destroyed and reduced to the same state again. The world was covered with waters, and the world of mankind was begun anew with one man and his posterity. The course of things from the flood to Abraham was, as it were, the revolution of another will, or another revolution of the same will, as at the beginning of it. The world was corrupt, and therefore one man and his family separated to be the father of the church. So it was again at the end of it. The space from Abraham to Moses was, as it were, another revolution of the same will. For as God established his covenant with Abraham, and then separated his church from the heathen, and calling Abraham out of Chaldean Syria. In the end of it, he again renewed his covenant, and again separated his church from the heathen world, bringing them up out of Egypt. From Moses and Joshua to Samuel, David and Solomon was another revolution of the same will, as in the beginning of it God gave the spirit of prophecy to Moses, so he renewed it in Samuel. As in the beginning of it, God gloriously conquered the enemies of Israel and settled them in Canaan in peace, by the hand of Moses and Joshua. So in the end of it, God gloriously subdued the enemies of Israel, and subdued the remains of the inhabitants of Canaan, and the nations round about, and gave them the full and peaceable possession of the land of promise and the full extent of it, from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt. The space from David and Solomon to the return out of the captivity is another revolution of the same will. In the beginning of it, the temple was built. In the end of it, it was built again, and the temple and worship and the courses of the priests and Levites again restored, which David and Solomon had established. And the church state of the Jews, as it had been settled by David and Solomon, was again renewed, from the return out of the captivity until Christ came and established a Christian dispensation as another revolution of the same will. At the beginning of it, God redeemed the church out of Babylon. At the end of it, he redeemed his church from sin and Satan, and accomplished that great redemption, of which a redemption from the Babylonish captivity was a great type. The course of things during the Jewish state was, as it were, the revolution of a great will. This course, as it respects the national state of that people, began with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of that nation. The national state of that people was then in its infancy. The will then began to rise from the ground, and it rose to the height in Solomon's time when the temple was built, in Solomon's kingdom in its greatest prosperity, which is about the middle of the space between the birth and calling of Abraham and Christ and the destruction of Jerusalem. Thenceforward they declined in numbers and wealth and strength until they came to the ground again. When Christ came and Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, their state with respect to their ecclesiastical constitution began in Moses, the first prophet, and came to the height in Isaiah's time. The most evangelical prophet who lived about the middle of the space between Moses and Christ, and came to the ground again in Christ's time. It was with the Jewish state in this respect as it is with the life of man, which I before showed was as the revolution of a will that began at the ground, and gradually rose to the height, and then gradually came to the ground again. So it is with kingdoms and empires. Their state and course are very much like the revolution of a will, beginning at the ground and rising to the height and coming to the ground again. What was with the four great monarchies of the world, so it is with the reign of Antichrist and the continuance of the Muslim Empire and other states and kingdoms. And when one nation or kingdom comes to the ground, another comes to the greatest height that before was at the ground. It is with the different parts of a will in motion. The space of time from Christ to the end of the world, this is a revolution of a great will. In the beginning of it, Christ comes into the world, and the wicked Jews were judged at the destruction of Jerusalem. And after them, the wicked heathen world in Constantine's time and the old world comes to an end, and the church glory follows. And then things in the Christian church gradually sink, until they come to the ground in the darkest times of Antichrist, and then gradually rise again until Christ comes again and judges the world, and destroys the church's enemies, and destroys the old heavens and earth, and then the church's glory follows. The whole series of things through the age of the world may be represented as a will of various rings, one within another, and some less than others, each one going round but once. The lesser one finishes a revolution soonest, and each beginning a degradation of the old heavens and earth, which in some respects had different beginnings, one when Adam was created, another in Noah's time, the settling of the world after the building of Babel, and another at the establishment of the Jewish state. The revolution of each will ends in an end of the world, in a day of judgment, In the creation of new heavens and a new earth, the last will finishes its revolution at the coming of Christ. In the destruction of Jerusalem, in the overthrow of the heathen empires that followed, when the world in a sense came to an end, and there was a day of judgment. This began at the creation of the Jewish state in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses and Joshua, in a total apostasy of the Gentile world, to heathenism. The next will, which is larger, began its revolution in Noah's coming out of the ark, in the building of Babel, in the dispersing of the nations, in the settling the world from thence, which, as it were, another beginning of the world, and ends at the destruction of Antichrist or the spiritual Babylon, and Satan's visible kingdom on earth, which began in the building of Babel, at the commencing of the glorious times of the church. This is another end of the world, and day of judgment, and building of the new heavens and new earth. The third and greatest will begins its revolution at the creation, and finishes it at Christ's second coming to judge the world, and destroy heaven and earth in a literal sense. Every will, or every revolution, begins and proceeds from God, and returns to God, as in Ezekiel's vision God is represented as appearing above the wills, so that to him they continually returned. God remarkably appears both in the beginning and ending of each of these wills that have been mentioned, especially in those that respect the state of the Church of God. As to human things, however, such as human kingdoms and empires, they rise from the earth and return to the ground again. But spiritual things begin their revolution from God on high, and there they return again. The changes that are in the world with respect to the profession of the truth and rise and fall of heresies is very much like the motion of wheels. They rise and fall, and rise and fall again. These wills in this vision are represented as God's chariot wheels. The world is the chariot of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in which he makes his progress to that glory, the glorious marriage with his spouse, the eternal feast, the everlasting kingdom of rest and love and joy, which the Father has designed him. What Ezekiel there saw was designed to represent God's chariot, in which God rode, and those wheels are the wheels of his chariot, and God, who sat on a throne above the firmament over these wheels and cherubim, is represented as on the seat in which he rides, and makes progress with the wheels and cherubim. God came to Ezekiel to speak to him, and gave him a mission on his chariot, and is so represented in his first chapter. In the second and third chapters, we have an account of what he had said to him from this seat. And in the 12th and 13th verses of the third chapter, we have an account of his departure, when he had done speaking with him, which was with a great rustling and noise of the wings of the cherubim, and the noise of the wheels. God rode on his cherubim, so as it drew his chariot. As it is said in Psalm 17:10, he rode on a cherub and did fly. In Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And therefore God, in being in that chariot drawn by these cherubim, is said to be upon the cherub. Ezekiel 9:3. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And God appeared about to leave the temple, and his glory departed from off the threshold into the same chariot. Chapter 10:18. With the foregoing verses, and then it is said, the cherubim lift up their wings and mounted from the earth in his sight, and the wheels also went beside them. And the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And after this, chapter 11:22-23, God is represented as departing in this manner up out of the midst of the city, ascending up to the top of Mount Olivet, being about from thence to ascend into heaven, from whence the same person afterwards ascended after his resurrection, And when it was represented in vision to Ezekiel how God would afterwards return to the city and temple in those happy days that were to come, he is represented as returning in the same manner. Chapter 43:2-4. This chariot represents the world, which is confirmed by this, that one part of it is called the firmament, which was the upper part, but yet the pavement of it above which was the seat of God, who sat and rode in that chariot agreeably to Deuteronomy 33:26, who rides upon the heaven in your help, and in his excellency on the sky, into Psalm 68:4, extol him that rides upon the heaven of heavens, which were of old. God appears here on the same pavement as he appeared to the 70 elders on Mount Sinai. What is signified by the wheels which were under the firmament, but above us upon the earth, is God's providence in this visible world, especially representing mankind that dwell on the earth. Christ was the person that appeared riding in this chariot. This is confirmed from that he appeared in the likeness of a man, verse 27. This chariot is drawn on those wheels by the four animals which denote God's power, wisdom, justice, and mercy, and all proceed on feet, like a calf's foot, because the great work of providence, that is, as it were, the sum of all providences, is that work of mercy, the work of redemption, corollary. Hence I would argue that the affairs of heaven have doubtless great respect to the affairs of this lower world. And God's providence is here, and that the church in heaven is to the progress it makes in a state of glory and blessedness, keeps pace with the church on earth, that the glory of both has advanced together. These great dispensations of providence by which glory of things are brought to pass for the church on earth are accompanied with like advances made at the same time in the church in heaven. And also that the affairs of the church in heaven have some way or other a dependence on God's providence towards his church on earth, and that their progress is dependent on the progress of things in God's providence towards his church here. For heaven and earth are both framed together. It is the same chariot. One part has relation to another, and is connected with another, and is all moved together. The motion of one part depends on the motion of the other. The upper part moves on the wheels of the lower part. For heaven is the room and seat of the chariot. It is above the firmament that moves on the wheels that are under the firmament, that go upon the earth. When these wheels are moved by the cherubim, then the upper part moves. When they stop, that stops. And wherever the wheels go, that goes. It is on these wheels that Christ, the King of Heaven and a throne in heaven, makes progress to the final issue of all things. It is in the wheels of his providence that move on earth, that he is in a throne in heaven, and makes progress towards the ultimate end of the creation of both heaven and earth, and the ultimate end of all the affairs of both. For this is the end of the journey of the whole chariot, wheels and throne. For both are moving towards the same journey's end, and the motion of all is by the wheels on earth. And if so, doubtless it is on these wheels that all the inhabitants of heaven, both of saints and angels, are carried towards their ultimate end. For all are Christ's family, are either his servants and attendants in the affair of redemption, which is the grand movement of the wheels, and are the ministers that draw the wheels, or are his members and parts of his body. This, therefore, confirms that the saints and angels in heaven do make progress in knowledge and happiness by what they see of God's works on earth. We know that all the happiness of the saints in heaven is entirely dependent on those great things that Christ did on earth, in the work of redemption, as it was purchased by it. And there is reason to think that their knowledge and glory is in other respects by what they see of these great works of providence which God carries on in the world in the prosecution of the grand design of redemption.